start this segment of the Rosie on the House Weekly radio broadcast in Glendale, Arizona, at Ann's house, who has a mesquite tree. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Sweet Jennifer's a call screener this hour. She'll get your question fielded on the screen and in touch with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Take it away, Ann.
I have a woodpecker with stripes on his back, and it's attacking my 4-year-old mesquite tree, and I'll have him concerned.
Yes, it sounds like our friend, the Gila woodpecker, and they are one of our...
Now, you can't see John's very facetious look on his face when he says our friend.
Well, they're one of our wonderful birds, actually. I love those birds. You have a little red spot on the back of their head. And very active sapsuckers. We have
just
a lot
as long
of
as they're not in your tree, you love.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. They can do a lot of damage. They love to, as other sapsucking birds do, peck into through the bark to stimulate a little sap flow, and then they drink the sap. And so it's a nutritional resource for them. And they are, you know, tapping. They'll usually sit in one spot on the tree, usually, you know, vertically on a branch, and they'll tap and draw a little bit of sap out, and then they'll move just to the right or left of that and tap again, you know, a quarter inch away. And so you end up getting these big lines of little tapped holes in the trunk of your tree. A lot of people think they're insect holes, and we get a lot of questions about that. But these are just sapsuckers.
That's what I thought they were.
And then,
well,
the woodpecker was
after insects.
Yeah, no, they just move down a little further onto an exposed area of bark and tap again. And you'll see these big lines of little tapped holes. And they're just sapsuckers that are causing that damage. A lot of times the birds can do some pretty serious damage to the trees. So you do want to protect them either by wrapping those branches. I've seen them do a lot of damage on some hybrid Palaverdes, and it's pretty serious on the younger, newly planted trees because they can actually girdle a tree all the way around the bark. Sometimes they'll actually grab the bark and they'll peel it off. And then they'll start ripping and shredding parts of the bark. And that's can start to get pretty damaging. I've heard people have put CDs and other reflective materials and hang them in the tree to try to discourage the birds. But sometimes just physically wrapping the branches with some burlap or some other product to keep the birds from being able to access those areas. If you feel like one area is getting really hammered really badly, you might want to just cover that area alone. It'll push the birds to another part in the tree possibly, but at least that'll be an area that doesn't have as much damage. You don't want to risk girdling an entire branch.
We appreciate the call and hope that helps, and good luck battling the Gila woodpecker. Some other things we need to be aware of this time of year that could cause damage is frost. And it's supposed to be with a little bit wetter, El Nino, maybe possibly a little bit colder, you as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that El Nino cycle is going to do, but we have to be ready for some frost. We got a little taste of it last week, you know, started to drop down a little to some cooler temperatures. But yeah, let's just talk a little bit about what you should do. Be ready with some frost cloth, which you can purchase at most nurseries, hardware stores, and there's even some wholesale dealers here in town that can supply horticultural frost cloth, is what they call it, horticultural cloth. And it's a thin fabric that you can drape over your plants. You can use bed sheets and others, but those can get kind of heavy and crush your plant material. You want the frost cloth is very, very light, which is nice. It just drapes over them. The one criteria for properly applying frost cloth is you want it to drape over your plant and go all the way down to the soil surface. So no air can get underneath the frost cloth. If you drape them over the top, there's some limited frost protection when you do that, but it's not giving you the full benefits of the plant transpiring underneath that frost cloth and actually trapping a little bit warmer air beneath the cloth.
So my lime tree has a really long trunk, really tall trunk, and I put my frost cloth on it, but it doesn't hit the ground, so I just tie it around the trunk. Should I go back with another cloth and somehow attach it to that so it it gets to the ground, or can I just tie it at the trunk?
Yeah, we've done the same thing. And there, like I said, there's limited protection that way, but to get the full benefit, it would have been better to have had that canopy drop all the way down to the ground. And then you can either stake those into the ground or put something heavy, like some bricks, down over it. You know, leave enough enough tail on it so you've got a foot or two of frost cloth you can actually work with at the soil level. And we'll stake it into the ground and put some bricks on it to keep the wind from lifting it.
Now, I've heard running water all night.
Yeah, if you have irrigated recently, that they say that is actually a good thing. It provides a little bit of additional moisture in the air, which helps to keep it a little bit warmer. That's those dry nights, clear nights that are coldest. And if you can provide a little microclimate of a little bit higher humidity, apparently that can help as well. And if that humidity is trapped again underneath that frost cloth that goes all the way to the ground, it provides a little bit warmer climate inside the dome.
And what about running lights?
Yeah, lights are great. They provide some, incandescent lights provide some heat. And
Christmas lights won't work.
Well, they have some limited ability, but actually putting a floodlight or two underneath there is a really good idea.
Pick up this Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.